Reacher, alone in the dark, armed and dangerous, coming back. Edward Lane was still face to face with Kate. He said,
I'm assuming you've been sleeping with him for years.
Kate said nothing.
I hope you've been using condoms. You could catch a disease from a guy like that.
Then he smiled, a new thought, a joke to him.
Oh, you could get pregnant.
Something in her terrified eyes. He paused.
What? What are you telling me?
She shook her head.
You're pregnant. You're pregnant, aren't you? You are. I know it. You look different. I can tell.
He put the flat of his hand on her belly. She pulled away, backward, hard against the pole she was tied to. He shuffled forward half a step.
Oh, man, this is unbelievable. You're going to die with another man's child inside you.
Then he spun away, stopped, and turned back, shook his head.
Can't allow that.
Wouldn't be right. We'll have to abort it first. I should have told Perez to find a coat hanger, but I didn't. So we'll find something else instead.
There's got to be something here. This is a farm, after all.
Kate closed her eyes.
You're going to die anyway,
Lane said, like the most reasonable man in the world. Reacher knew they were in a barn. They had to be. That was clear. Where else could they hide their truck? He knew there were 5 barns in total. He had seen them in the daylight, vaguely in the distance. 3 stood around a beaten earth yard, and 2 stood alone. All of them had vehicle ruts heading for big doors. Storage, he had guessed, for the backhoe, and tractors, and trailers, and balers, and all kinds of other farm machinery. Now, in the dark, the dirt under his feet felt dry and dusty, hard and stony. It wouldn't show tire marks. No point in risking a flash of the maglite beam. So which barn? He started with the nearest, hoping to get lucky. But he didn't get lucky. The nearest barn was one of the 2 that stood alone. It was a wide, wooden structure made of weathered boards. The whole thing had been blown slightly off kilter by 200 years of relentless winds. It leaned to the west, beaten down. Reacher put his ear on a crack between 2 boards and listened hard. Heard nothing inside. He put his eye on the crack and saw nothing, just darkness. There was a smell of cold air and damp earth and decayed burlap. He moved on 50 yards to the second barn, hoping to get lucky. But he didn't get lucky. The second barn was just as dark and quiet as the first. Musty and cold, nothing moving inside. A sharp nitrogen smell, old fertilizer. He moved on through the blackness, slow and stealthy, toward the 3 barns grouped around the yard. They were 100 yards away. He got a quarter of the way there, then he stopped, dead. Because in the corner of his eye, he saw light to his left and behind him, light and movement in the house, the kitchen window, a flashlight beam in the room, fast shadows jumping and leaping across the inside of the glass. Lane turned to Gregory and said,
"Find some baling wire."
"Before we do the kit?"
Gregory asked.
"Why not? It can be like a preview for her. She's going to get the same thing anyway as soon as Perez gets back with the potato peeler. I told her mother years ago what would happen if she cheated on me. And I always try to keep my word."
"A man ought to," Gregory said.
"We need an operating table. Find something flat, and turn the truck's lights on. I need to be able to see what I'm doing."
"You're sick," Jackson said. "You need help."
"Help? No, I don't think so. It was always a one-person procedure, as I understand. Old women, usually in back alleys, I believe."
Reacher moved fast and quiet to the back door of the house, pressed himself tight against the wall on the far side, waited. He could feel the rough stones against his back. He could hear a voice through the door, very faintly, one side of a 2-way conversation, a slight Hispanic accent, Perez on the phone. Reacher reversed his rifle in his hands, gripped the forestock in front of the carrying handle, and took a practice swing. Then he waited, alone in the dark. Gregory found an old door, rustic, made from lapped boards and Z-braced on the back. He pulled it out from a stack of discarded lumber and stood it upright.
"That's perfect,"
Lane called to him. Perez stepped out into the night and turned to close the door behind him, and Reacher swung, arms extended, hips twisting, driving forward off the back foot, wrists snapping. No good. Late. A foul ball for sure. Left field, upper deck, off the facade, maybe out into the street. But Perez's head was not a baseball, and the G-36 was not a bat. It was an 8-pound yard of steel. The sight block caught Perez in the temple and punched a shard of bone sideways through his left eye socket and on through the bridge of his nose and halfway through his right eye socket. Then it stopped when the top edge of the stock crushed his ear flat against the side of his skull. So, not a perfect swing. A millisecond earlier and 2 inches farther back, a blow like that would have taken the top of the guy's head off like opening a soft-boiled egg. Late as it was, it just plowed a deep, messy lateral trench between his cheeks and his forehead. Messy, but effective. Perez was dead long before he hit the ground. He was too small to go down like a tree. He just melted into the beaten earth like he was a part of it. Lane turned to Addison and said,
"You'll find out what the hell Perez is up to. He should have been back by now. I'm getting bored. Nobody's bleeding yet."
"I'm bleeding,"
Jackson said. "You don't count."
"Taylor's bleeding. Perez shot him."
"Wrong. Taylor's stopped bleeding. For the moment."
"Reacher's out there."
"I don't think so." Jackson nodded.
"He is. That's why Perez isn't back. Reacher got him."
Lane smiled.
"So what should I do? Go out and search with my 2 men, leaving you people all alone in here to organize a pathetic escape attempt behind my back? Is that what you're trying to achieve?"
"Not going to happen. Because right about now, Reacher is walking past the bishop's Pargeter church. Or are you just trying to give your comrades a little hope in their hour of need? Is this British pluck? The famous stiff upper lip?"
"He's out there. I know it."
He was crouching outside the kitchen door, sorting through all the things that Perez had dropped. An MP5K with a 30-round magazine and a ballistic nylon shoulder sling. A flashlight, now broken. 2 black-handled kitchen knives, one long, one short, one serrated, one plain. A souvenir corkscrew from a car ferry operator, and a potato peeler. Its handle was a plain wooden peg, once red, now faded. Tightly bound to it with thick wrapped string was a simple pressed metal blade, slightly pointed, with a raised flange and a slot. An old-fashioned design. Plain, utilitarian, well used. Reacher stared at it for a moment. Then he put it in his pocket. He buried the longer knife to its hilt in Perez's chest, tucked the shorter knife in his own shoe, kicked the corkscrew and the broken flashlight into the shadows, used his thumb to clean Perez's blood and frontal lobe off of the G-36's monocular lens, picked up the MP5 submachine gun and slung it over his left shoulder. Then he headed back, north and east, toward the barns. Reacher, alone in the dark, doing it the hard way.